Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, I feel much like Isaiah when he said, "Woe is me, I'm an unclean man." And Heavenly Father, I feel that way. And I just ask that you be with us as we share some words together from your holy word. And our Heavenly Father, we want to commit ourselves to you this day, that we want to be united together in fellowship. We want to rejoice together in praise to your name. And we want to unite together for the coming of Jesus. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration. And is profitable for doctrine, proof of instruction, and instruction in righteousness. I don't know how come my name showed up twice in this quarter. I don't know why you want to hear a 90-year-old man speak to you. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your... I don't know that this was written probably before 1700, the way the history goes. And it has something to do with they don't know who. Was it Mary, the mother of Jesus? Or was it Mary, Queen of Scots, Bloody Mary? A lot of speculation over who that was. But it is really a rhetorical question. Mary, Mary, how did your garden grow? God really, in essence, way back in the Garden of Eden, said, "Adam and Eve, how's your garden growing?" When he searched for them in the garden, after they had rebelled against him and bowed to the god of this world, by the name, a man by the name of Lucifer. And I wonder if he's asking us the same question to us today. Now, the last time I spoke, I talked about my legacy. And I told you that the legacy, our family was not wealthy, but my mother gave me a legacy of prayer. My father was really not a spiritual leader within our home, but he did give me a legacy. When he whistled, I came running. I recognized that vengeance was his. And really, he taught me that much about God by, you know, just his being who he was. But my mother was a spiritual leader within the home. And then I really urged us, besides the legacy of prayer, and I told you the story of J.M. Bounds, the Confederate chaplain of the Confederate Army, the battle up here at Franklin. And I said that prayer was deathless, and it is. Several of you made comment after the sermon about that, but because they remembered their mother's prayers for their brother. I see some heads going up and down now. Prayer is essential to our lives. And the other thing that I urged was more in-depth Bible study. And lo and behold, another person came, same thought. And I had really wanted to carry on that same theme for this week because I wanted to talk to you one of my favorite books of the Bible, Joshua. And I mentioned to you that Joshua Go to the Judges right now and go to the very last verse. Will you please open up your Bible and just read those last words of Joshua. And when you got it, say yea or amen, whichever you would like to say. Maddie's got it in her mind. Maddie, tell us what that verse says. There was no kings in the land, and every man did what he thought was what? Right in his own eyes. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? And I told you that Joshua is just a really, I mean, Judges is a really unique book. As we read it, some of those chapters are all just reversed. And you get in depth of study it, that is the period of time of over 300 years when they were living by that as a theocracy and not under, and the people clamored to be like a what? Like a king, because they got so fed up with it. And I said that there's seven distinct cycles within that. And I wanted to talk. My sermon today was on the seventh cycle. And remember that I told you that every one of those seven cycles had five components to it? You probably don't remember that, Matt. But I said there are five components to it, and they all begin with S. Remember? First of all, there was what? Sin. They became slaves to sin. And then there was a supplication prayer. And after that came a Savior. And after that became silence in the land. And it's a remarkable, I wanted to talk to you today about the seventh cycle. However, the events over the last week or 2 weeks, I've changed my thinking since that time. So I wanted to talk to you today about Delmar Lovejoy's garden. I wanted to talk to you about Matt's garden. I wanted to talk to you, Chuck, about your garden. Al, your garden. And the reason I did that, first of all, was our weekend that we had last week. How many of you heard our friend Tim Raymond? Raise your hand. Stick him up high. Now start waving him if you appreciated him. Outstanding. It was an outstanding presentation. That's what charged my heart. That was one of the events. Another event was I got a information from our church treasurer. That changed my mind. I went to the Sunday night dinner, Pathfinders. That changed my mind. Ladies that sat at our table, Sharon, Nona, Jean, Dee, Ann, Isabel, those are all the ladies at my table. There I sat. Ted finally drifted in, and Ann came. But that started a thinking in my mind. I wanted to change my thoughts for today. Then, Dr. Matt, I was sitting in a fast food place, wasn't I? Do you remember that now? Can I tell a story? All of a sudden, I was inundated with about 11 kids running around the place. And there was Matt Campbell, Dr. Matt Campbell. And lo and behold, right, Kim, where's Cheryl? You just walked in. There was Cheryl. And lo and behold, there was over here my friend Ralph. And Silas, where are you? Silas? Come on up here, Silas. And where's Ava? Come on up here, Ava. Come on up here, Silas. Are you part of Uncle Dell's garden? You don't know? Did you serve me? Where's your other friend? Is she here? Call her up here. Call her by name.
Who?
Amelia
or Zoe?
Come on up, gal. Come on, the one right, all up, come on up. Come on up here. We're really short of young people. They're all up to what? Seven up camp, aren't they? That's what we got. All right, now, all of these guys come trooping in to Uncle Dell's eating of his baked potato. Isn't that right? But I was so happy that you come waltzing in, because you guys are being rewarded for something at Wendy's, weren't you? Is that right?
Joshua, too.
What?
Joshua, too.
Okay. Joshua, yeah, come on. That's right. Isabel, you can come up, too. Come on.
Eli and Landon.
Who? Jan, Landon, and you, Eli? Come on. Let's go. I wasn't going to spread it this long, but this will be fine. It's good enough. We get all the kids up here. Where'd Molly go? She had a beautiful song for us. All right, all of them come trooping in. And I don't know if it was a bribe by the teacher or what. Why did you get it? Why did you get the...
Because we weren't bowling and there wasn't any more ice cream left.
Okay. In other words, they were good kids. I think that's what Silas said, or somebody said, that they were really good kids, and they had been out for a special field trip, and a teacher is very courageous to take them out and take them into a restaurant and to give them all a Frosty. Did you guys enjoy it? Did you behave yourselves when you got back to school? Now, you are a part of my garden. Silas? Did Uncle Dell share something with you? No. Yes, you did. You had that little old Frosty there. And Uncle Dell, he's a little cheapskate, you know. They got a senior Frosty they give us, too, when we go there. And they give us a senior drink, too, don't they? Oh, you remember what happened? What did I share with you? You two sat at the table. And that's what I appreciated that. You came over and sat right down by that table with us. And did I share anything with you? Silas, did I share anything with you now? You remember? I poured some of that root beer and made you a root beer float. Isn't that right? And you laughed at me, didn't you? Why did you laugh, Silas? Remember that glass, how all that fuzz has come up on top and started overflowing? And you looked and said, it's growing. It's growing. Did I share that with you? You know, I thought about that, and I said, boy, if I could only share all my life with you young people, but you are part of my garden. I want to show you guys something. I was hoping another young man would be here today because see the picture here? That guy's probably about 40 years old now. He was a former student of mine, just like you guys, only just a little bit lawyer. Look at him. Isn't he dressed real nice? He has a lovely wife. Three boys. I don't know how he's going to handle three boys, Silas. They're all like you, rambunctious and really go to town. But you know, this is their garden. That was part of my garden there. And you're part of our garden right now, too. And here's what Kofi told me. He wrote me this note and sent me that picture from Minneapolis. He was a student down to Oakwood College. He says, hi, Doc. Thank you so much for reaching out. If you need anything, don't hesitate to call me. I owe you a lot. Please, keep me in touch. Kofi. You know what, young people? You're part of a garden. And all of these people are part of your gardeners. They love you. You don't owe us one thing because you give us so much warmth and love in our hearts by being here in our church, by Molly, by singing. You two guys coming down and sitting at the table with a bunch of us old fogies and giving us a cheer and comfort and for being a good guy, good girls. And we enjoyed your Pathfinder outing that night too. It was a beautiful experience for all of us. So we won as a church. I gave a special offering today for the church school and for the Pathfinders because of our love for you young people. And this whole church supports you through that. And so we just want to praise the Lord for sending you young people to us so we can have you growing in our gardens. Thank you very much, girls and boys. Good deal. Thank you for coming up, Silas. You wondered what Uncle Dell was going to ask you, didn't you? You didn't think I was going to mention about when you started laughing about all that root beer floating over that cup. Thank you very much. The other thing that I sat at that Pathfinder camper thing, it was to see some people put down their hair, Luigi, Matt the MC. Sometimes some of the sharing some of that little, I don't want to say foolishness, Chuck, yeah, that may be too much. You shaking your head there? Okay. But it is a wholesome time. But there was something as I looked about that room. I told you my plight. I was the only man at that table until Matt came in. But Matt came in with two other women. And then Ted came in. He brought in another woman. So I looked at my table. And all women except us three guys. Is that right, Jeannie? Is that right, Sharon? I looked over at this lady's table. I saw Janae. I saw Jasmine. I saw their lady friend with them. I saw Olive come in. I saw Gracie come in. And I saw Steve sitting on the other end. Was there any other man at that table? Grant too. Oh, yeah. But folks, what's been my story to you? What's your thought? A lot of women, is that right, Marcia? But let me tell you something. You women, we just been through Valentine's Day, didn't we? Dee, did I go out for lunch with you yesterday? Did I give you a Valentine's card? Did I give you a kiss? Did I thank you for being a good wife to me? Yes. Now, not only that, we owe that affection to our wives, but more than that, we owe a gratitude, a thank you for the women of our church. I gave an article to the pastor. I share my archaeology magazine that I get, and I just give it to him. But this last issue had a tremendous article in there of the women of the New Testament church. And so I wanted to give you ladies recognition because I did not recognize the role that they played in the New Testament church, how upfront they were, the responsibility they had, the property that they owned, the care that they manifested toward Paul and all the apostles and things. They had a role that made the church grow, that made the church, they took care of them. And we will talk just a little bit about the Philippians, how the women of the church helped there too, and that Paul admonished them to pray for them. So I wanted, that's changed my thoughts too, that you ladies of our church need to be given recognition for the work that you do and for the time that you speak up. The Sabbath school, have you recognized in our church of our Sabbath school teachers of the time that they spent Sabbath after Sabbath? But worse than that, it's year in and year out. And some of those ladies need some rest and need some breaks. And I know that some of our men recognize that and they have filled in the roles and many times there. So that's why I changed my thoughts for today. But the great thing, you know why we sang today? What did we sing for opening song, Chuck? Rejoice, rejoice, ye pure in what? Heart. And I looked around and some of you were smiling. And more of you were smiling when this young lady Molly sang for us today. We have to rejoice. Because I want to say you something that's a landmark for this church. I came up in front, did nothing special whatsoever. I just followed some direction that the conference or the union said that we should follow in asking for our religious liberty offering. Our highest offering previously was in 2015. It was $500 offering on that day. For the next 4 years, it was a steady decline. We simply made an appeal, and you as a church responded. You responded gloriously. Our goal was five times what it was last year. It was better than 200% more than what the other year was. We took in over $1,200 for our offering. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Amen. Do not get so prideful, though, because we cannot sit back on our glory for that, because it was none of us that did it. It was a combined effort, and it was the Lord working. I wasn't able to give a talk. I just gave three announcements and laid it out before you, and that was a response. Isn't that tremendous? Now, there's some things that are good about that and some things that are bad about it. The good things is statistics can be misleading. There's certain central tendencies in statistics. One's the mode, one's the median, and one's the mean. Now, the mode is not so good because that's just the one that's the most popular, but sometimes it can be the best. The median is not one because it doesn't take into account outliers, those that are way off in the end, because it can disrupt the mean. We had evidently a few heavy hitters. By heavy hitters, those are those bonds that were filled out. And now I know that all of us have limited income. However, I would just like to say this. You let the Lord lead you and direct you with where you want your funds to go. But be praying about it. Recognizing the church's need. Recognizing how you can be effective for the community. And the religious liberty one that we take in each year is very important as we've been studying the last Sabbath school lesson that are current. But can't we rejoice? Can't we all say, amen, thank you, Lord, for providing these funds so we can distribute to the members, key people within our community concerning that. Amen. It's been a good year for the Lord, and we want to make sure, because those were some of the things that changed my mind. But then Tim came to town, and he laid before us that in this world in which we are living, there's really two kingdoms, right? The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ has a crown on his head, and what was written right beneath the crown? Love. And what was written underneath the crown of Satan? Hate. And those are the two aspects. And one thing that he hit very closely, and I know that you people are here, we should live by principle and not by what? Live by principle and not feeling. Tremendous. And another thing he said, the day that Adam and Eve forgot intending their garden, we began to die. Is that correct? Yes. And Lucifer denied that. However, my children, well, they aren't children anymore. In fact, I thought Morris was going to be here today. He almost told Dad he would be. A little disappointed, but it's still in God's hand. We are responsible to live by principle and not by what? Because we are all dying right now. Cindy has felt that. Chuck has felt it. Dee and Dell has felt it. Our parents are all gone. Some of them are more recently. My folks, my children don't like it as we've got our funeral arrangements arrayed, all cared for. Our names are on the place where we're going to be, and our birth date. I'm dying. I'm getting bald in my head. I went into, got a little piece cut off my nose, got a little piece cut off my chin from skin cancer. I got my pants 2 inches short, and Cindy, they were last time I see, they were dragging the ground. I think the pants are stretching. No, they're not stretching. Lovejoy's getting what? Shorter. The cartilage is going here. Less than my spine. That's what I said. Why do you want a 90-year-old guy talking to you for? We're dying. We're dying. So, we are to live while here by what? Principle and not our what? Feelings. Well, I better find out what those right principles are. So in studying Billy for this week's Sabbath school lesson, I yak too much in Sabbath school many times. But here's one of the things that I read in studying for your lesson today. A great crisis awaits the people of God. A crisis awaits the world. The most momentous struggle of all ages is just before us. Isn't that powerful? It's powerful. So if this is where we are, if the church is in a crisis, the people of God are going to have a crisis come up to us, as according to Revelation chapter 13, a crisis is going to await the United States. Not only the United States, it's going to await the whole world. In fact, it waits for the whole universe, because we are a stage. Everything, we're being watched to see what takes place. It says, when the laws of the earthly rulers are brought into opposition to the laws of the supreme ruler of the universe, then those who are God's loyal subjects will be true to him. So we are to be true to him, but we got to know what those right principles are. And Chuck, here's what I found out. I said, Lovejoy, where are you going to find them? It was rattling around in my mind. What are the right principles? Well, I thought right away, Exodus 20. Are those the right principles? Those are the Ten Commandments, every one of them right on down the line. Well, Matthew 5, I thought, oh, Billy was going to, I told Nono, Billy, when you mentioned Matthew 5 today in the Sabbath, I said, oh, what did I tell you, Nono? You're getting in my territory now. So I just kept a little quiet. But Matthew 5 really expands upon those very basic principles, doesn't it? It put meats on the bones. It you know, you've got the sixth one, thou shalt not kill. But the Matthew 5 says, even if our what? Thoughts of hatred enters into their mind, we're guilty. So I thought, Matthew 5. I thought just a little bit of further. I thought of Galatians chapter 5, verse 20-22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. Those are principles to live by. But lo and behold, along come Pastor Tim. He laid out some of those principles, thanks to Ted, because I think Ted is the one that brought this to his mind, but then Tim elaborated on. But here's what I thought, what I found, too. When this decree that goes forth, when the great crisis is here upon us, it says that we should cultivate certain principles. And it's found in Gospels workers and testimony to the ministers. And here's the words that she says. the principles that we should cultivate very specifically. She says to us, let us diligently cultivate the pure principles of the gospel of Christ. In these last days, we are to cultivate the what? Pure principles of the gospel of Christ. And that's what Tim talked about, the gospel of Christ. He says all of our thoughts should be by these words, in Him, in Christ, in the Lord. Remember? Everything that motivates us should be according to these principles. The gospel of Christ, the religion of not self-esteem that we've been studying about lately in Daniel, but love, meekness, and lowliness of heart. It almost sounds to me like Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of thee but to what? What is it? Love justly. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord. That looks like it to me too. But look, she even gets a little more specific than that. Then we shall love our brethren and esteem them better than ourselves. Our mind will not dwell on scandal and flying reports, but what do you think she quotes? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. Specifically, our scripture lesson that we had for today. I would ask all of you to turn to that right at the present time, if you would, to Philippians, the 4th chapter. And I'd like to have you follow along. If you don't have a Bible with you, church family, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. So I'm going to interrupt my class right now. I want to introduce you to a friend of ours. It's Ed Crude, a man that came from Michigan. He spent his first Sabbath with us here last week. Ed, thank you for coming back today. You're going to be back next week. He stopped me in the hall, and he said, I'm going back home to Michigan, though. Ed, we're going to miss you. We've only had you 3 or 4 weeks. But if you'd like to make your home some other time and bring your daughters back down here with you, you do that, will you, please? Okay, good. So thank you, class. Speak to him after. He's going to stay for lunch again today, aren't you? Ralph will take care of you real well again. He was another bridge. And he's from Traverse City up the Cherry Country. So thank you for coming and visiting with us and spending time. All right. Do we have Philippians, the 4th chapter? Now, how were the books written? How was the Holy Word written? Were there verses? Were there chapters? Nope. So maybe before we begin reading this together, and all of you have it because our pastor's been urging us to make sure we bring our Bibles, let's go up to chapter 13. And let's look at verse 17. This whole section from 17 through 21 deals with nothing but our citizenship. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who walk as you have to for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's saying that there are some people that are out there that are with the church and around. They have turned away from the church, and they're now become what? An enemy to the church. Well, but let's jump down to verse 20. Because that's what's important for me at this juncture. For our citizenship is in where? Heaven. In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's Tim. All of our Christian experience is to be in who? In Him, in the Lord, in Christ. Because we are what? citizens of heaven here on this earth. All right? And then we'll go on to verse 21, but let's not go into a transaction. He gives a therefore. He's referring back. Because we are citizens of heaven, therefore, what's those next words? My beloved and longed for what? Brethren. Paul was so in love with his church family, he seems to be at loss for certain words that he has there. But he says, I've longed for you. You're my beloved. You're my joy. And you're crowned. So stand what? Fast in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful statement? And that's why we're going to sing our closing hymn, Standing Up. Standing on the promises of God. So that is a beautiful breaking and the love that he had for his church. And that was the reason I tried to point out to the young people today that we love them. And we want them to love the church and we as a church to love them back in turn. And verse 2 is really an important one as I look at it too. And ladies of the church, it says, I implore Eudodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. It evidently is talking here a little bit, where the two ladies were just having a little bit of a problem. So then Paul goes on and says, I urge you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And so what he's talking there is that he was thanking the women and get them together and have it talk it out and to go over it together. But however, verse 4 is the one that I wanted to say, is that I wanted to go back. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Even though there was a little difficulty that was in the church and there was a little bit of disharmony there, Paul asks them to get together. He doesn't mention what it is. And he thought the two of the people would be able to take care of themselves. And I have written here in my notes some bold words here. And here's what I wanted to say on this comment here on verse 4. While Christian life will be characterized by humility, should not be so marked with sadness and self-depreciation. It is a privilege of everyone so to live that God will approve and bless him. It is not the will of our Heavenly Father that we should ever be under condemnation and darkness. We should be what? Happy people. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Don't be so despondent and in gloom. And so, as we look through all of these ingredients of this chapter four, the meat of it comes to 8. Whatsoever, brethren, these things are true. As we looked at this word true, is it just talking about veracity? It's not talking only about veracity. It's talking about the truth in the Lord, as John tells us. Jesus is a what? The truth and the life and the light. And so there's a lot of things in this world that may be true, but it's not just to be feasted upon, because some of that stuff is very bad, even though it is true. And whenever we have learned in all of these items of Paul giving here in Philippians, we are to remember in verse 5, it says, let your gentleness, as Daniel demonstrated, be known to all men. The Lord is at what? Hand. And so that was my appeal and what I heard Tim saying to us. In the world in which we're living, the Lord is at what? Hand. He's nearer coming. Maranatha that is so out there working. We're David, one of our church members, helping in church. The Lord is coming soon. Let's get ready and let's be prepared for it. And then we are to be anxious in nothing. Don't worry about anything. To turn it over to the Lord by prayer and what? Supplication. And I had thought about this, Chuck. I wondered, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? I studied into it a little bit. And as I thought about Judges, as that was that it was supplication that brought about change and brought the people back to a life of experience. Prayer is really a general thing that we always ought to do. And we do it. Daniel did it three times. But a supplication seems to be something very what? Specific. A one point in mind. The whole church is what? Focusing in on something and bringing it together. And I thought that was an interesting concept there. That in our last days and things, that there may be a difference in the type of our praying that we do. That we will come together and focal on one point. And then when we hit other things that are here in verse 8, our time is almost gone. But I want to say there's a strange thing that here about prayer. Does the Lord know what we need? Does he know what our prayers are? Why do we pray then? Why do we pray? Should we pray if the Lord knows us that? I have found an interesting statement from the Great Controversy, page 525, that we always ought always to what? Pray. Because the people of the world think that maybe prayer is foolishness, that prayer is really just something that is tossed in. But on page 525, thus they represent God as bound by his own laws, as if operation of divine law could exclude divine freedom. Such teaching is opposed to the testimonies of the scriptures. Were not miracles wrought by Christ and his apostles? The same compassionate Savior lives today, and he's willing to listen to prayer of faith. He's willing to listen to a what? A prayer of faith, as when he walked visibly among men. The natural cooperates with the supernatural. Is it a part of God's plan to grant us an answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not bestow if we did not ask? Isn't that something? The Lord wants to build faith in you and I. It wants us to extend ourselves in prayer and in supplication. Why? So that he can what? Answer it to establish our faith in him. Isn't that a beautiful concept? So why pray? It's mandatory. It's necessary to build what? Our faith. I thought that was a beautiful statement. And I wanted to share with that with you in closing. Yes, we are to live by what? Principles. And not by what? Feeling. And God wants us to search for those principles and to find them. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand on those principles. Stand on his promises. One of those promises that is a favorite of mine is found in Philippians. And it says, and all of you know it, I can do all things through Christ. Is that the end of it? Randy, you're shaking your head? No. You don't agree with Uncle Dale? What else does it say? Through Christ, who what? Otherwise, I'm John Paul Sartre. And old Sartre, he was that guy that wanted to build self-esteem. And he came along with Maslow's hierarchy of need. Some of that stuff good, but most of it's really bad because self comes surface to the top. I can do all things through Christ, what? Who strengthens me. I have another promise. I'm going to ask from two of your precious promises that you have before we sing our closing hymn. So some of you that want to share a promise of the Lord, I want you to have that promise ready. Be thinking a bit. I have a very short promise that I love. It's from John 15, verse 14. You are my friend if you keep my commandments. Do you want Ted? You're my nephew. Can I pick on you? Do you want God as your friend? Isn't that a beautiful promise? All you got to do is what? Obey him. Isn't that a beautiful promise, Al? Do you want God as your friend? That's one of my promises that I like. Come on up here. Can you be real loud so they'll hear you?
Yeah.
If I had Aunt Dee's stool, you could hear. What's your promise?
When Jesus said to Rainbow, I never will have a flood. I'll never make a flood to cover the earth again.
I didn't quite. Did you get it, his appearance? What did he say?
The Lord said he would never cover the earth with flood again.
That's his promise, and how do you know that? When you see the rainbow?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Is there one more promise from the Bible? Anybody? Yes, Nona. He's gone home to prepare a home for us. Beautiful. Chuck, will you come up and have our closing hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. What's the page number 500 and?
518.
Thank you.